The First of Two looks at Dallas, Texas radio on November the 22nd, 1963. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
See the Wheeler Dealers.
Oh. Bless you, sir.
That's all right, buddy. We all feel the same. Anybody that has the courage to marry somebody named Eunice can't be all bad. See the Wheeler Dealer, won't you? Now showing at two Trans-Texas theaters, the Capri, downtown Dallas, and Hollywood, downtown Fort Worth. Don't forget, President Kennedy's speech today has been billed as a major address. KLIF News, of course, will be bringing you excerpts of that speech throughout the afternoon, okay? My Eddie Fine, away we go on the Rick Jones Show.
That crack about a woman named Eunice was what would become a most unfortunate joke uttered by KLIF Dallas radio disc jockey Rex Jones, whose program was well underway by 12:30 p.m. Central Time on the 22nd of November 1963. One of President John F. Kennedy's younger sisters just happened to be named Eunice Mary Kennedy Shriver. President Kennedy was in Dallas that day, on his way to make an address to a group of Dallas businessmen and Democratic Party activists. Kennedy never made that address. By the time Rex Jones had made that joke, President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Connally had been shot and their motorcade speeding to Parkland Hospital in Dallas. KLIF had a relatively low-quality air check tape recording what was going out over its air, strictly for reference purposes, mainly as a means to establish that certain commercials had been run on the right times. The tapes for the remainder of that day would not be erased. Because they contained coverage of the shooting, they were placed in the National Archives. We pick up the recording just as a commercial set is interrupted for another bulletin. There had been several already. And it is worth noting that KLIF did not completely interrupt its music format for several more minutes, leading to another unfortunate irony, as the last song to be played in full before the developing news took over completely was a 1963 hit record by Gene McDaniels titled The Point of No Return. In a historic sense, that point had been crossed about a dozen minutes earlier.
Hey, be sure that you stock up for this weekend with Texas Brewed Premium Ham Beer at popular Texas prices.
And now we take you to Joe Long in KLIF Mobile News Unit Number 4 in downtown Dallas.
The latest information, and things are rather confused at this moment, shots definitely were fired at the presidential motorcade as it passed through downtown Dallas. All squads are converging code 3 in the area of Elm and Houston in downtown. There is a tentative description of the shooting suspect, a man, a white male, believed to be approximately 30 years old, reportedly armed with a .30 caliber rifle. How many shots were fired? How many persons, if any, were struck and wounded? We do not know yet. Very close-mouthed officials now clamping down on the entire story. We'll bring you what details are available just as quickly as they come into our possession. Joe Long, Fifth Mobile News Unit Number 4, 1190 and out.
Sandra B. has her troubles. Listen.
A lot's been said about the wild teenage sex. But wait till you see the scrapes my dad Jimmy Stewart gets into and takes her, she's mine. Yikes, you just wouldn't believe it. Can you picture Jimmy Stewart battling the police?
Grab him, boys.
No!
Oh, no!
Mixed up with some French cuties.
Holy chihuahua.
Doing a Parisian striptease. Yikes, you just gotta see our new picture. Take her, she's mine, to believe it.
Wonderful Broadway smash is even funnier on the movie screen. Take Her, She's Mine, the hilarious story of a father whose baby suddenly becomes a babe. So take her, take him, take the family to see James Stewart and Sandra Bee in Take Her, She's Mine, co-starring Audrey Meadows from 20th Century Fox in color by Deluxe. Take Her, She's Mine.
I'll do it, friend, if you don't watch me very closely. It's the surprise fun show of the season, now held over for a third big week at Interstate Palace Theater in Dallas.
You know that once upon a time, I didn't need you so. It would have been so easy then for me to turn and go. But now there's no leaving.
At the point of no return, and for me there'll be no turning back. I told myself you'd always be a habit I could break. But now a day without your kiss would be so hard to take. You just can't get off a train that's moving down the track. I'm at the point of no return, and for me there'll be no turning back. Once I could have said goodbye, but that was at the start. Now I think I'd rather die than be the one to say we'll part. Maybe you will break my heart, or maybe you'll be true. No matter what the future brings, I've got to see it through. Nothing but an act. I'm at the point of no return, and for me there'll be no turning back. Yeah, for me there'll be no turning back.
McDaniels with a KLIF classic, and ladies and gentlemen, stand by at 1190 on your dial for further developments in the reported shooting during the motorcade of President Kennedy on his visit to Dallas, Texas.
Are you hoping that someday you'll find something that's really good for pimples and bad complexion? Search no more. Baker's Beauty Lotion is what you need, a brand new modern formula, safe, easy, and pleasant to use. Mrs. H.W. Hedgepeth, 1044 Garden View Drive, Dallas, says...
My grandson had pimples all over his face, and Baker's Beauty Lotion sure has done wonders for him. I heartily recommend it for pimples and skin blemishes. Baker's Beauty Lotion is in the class with the old reliable Baker's Hair Tonic for dandruff.
For pimples and bad complexion, Baker's Beauty Lotion is the best yet. It's a new formula containing no harmful ingredients, plus easy, safe to use. Those who use Baker's Beauty Lotion face the world with a clear face or money back. Or money back.
And now another report. And now another report from Joe Long, downtown Dallas.
Latest details on the chase and search in downtown Dallas. An unidentified man fired several shots from what apparently was a high-powered 30-caliber rifle at the presidential motorcade. So far, the authorities are not releasing details on who, if anyone, was hit by any of the bullets or how badly they were injured. Parkland Hospital being very close-mouthed about the situation, but the search now centers at the area of Elm and Houston near the old Texas School Book Depository building, and there is a possibility that the would-be assassin is still inside that building. All available downtown units are converging at emergency speed to that area. The entire area has been blocked off. It is roped off now. No one allowed in or out as the search for this would-be presidential assassin continues in downtown Dallas. What had been a very smooth journey to Texas for the president and his wife and other officials, Vice President and Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, now has turned in to another black smear. And we are keeping up to date on all details through the official police officer sources and will bring you full details as soon as they're available. Joe Long, Mobile News Unit number 41190, and out.
I do 90% of your work. I'm Babbo Cleanser. Grease dissolving, stain removing, powerful mule Babbo. Now, do you believe me?
Isn't it time for Aunt Jemima Day at your house?
Ooh.
Larry DeLaw in the KLIF newsroom. The police department is still trying to confirm the fact that President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been wounded, perhaps tragically, in a afternoon altercation in downtown area. According to the latest reports, both have been cut down by at least three bullets that pierced the atmosphere as the motorcade made its way from Love Field through to that downtown area to the trademark where President Kennedy was to speak at a luncheon. They were riding in an open automobile when the shots were fired. The bubble had been discarded when the sun broke through the clouds here in Big D. The president, his body cradled in the arms of Mrs. Kennedy, has been rushed to Parkland Hospital. We are still awaiting word from Parkland the extent of the president's injury. We just talked with the police department just a moment ago. Here was that conversation.
Did you get any more confirmation that the president had?
No, sir.
Can you give me the description again, please, ma'am?
We're awfully busy right now. Did you get it on your radio? It's Whitetail 3510165, sir. Get over a rifle. And I believe it was an Elman Houston where it came from. Now, I don't know definitely, and I don't like to say.
That was the police department, Mrs. Trimpton, saying that they have not received a confirmed report. So now we'll switch you to the downtown area of Dallas, and this is Joe Long.
Here is the latest unconfirmed report we have, and we must stress that this is unconfirmed, but it comes from a very high-placed official who refuses to be quoted, but it is now reported that Governor Connally and the president perhaps have been wounded in this assassin's attempt. It is an unofficial report that both the president and Governor Connally were wounded in this shooting event in the downtown area during the passage of the motorcade. The automobile in which the president was riding reportedly sped out to Parkland Hospital, and we do not know whether Mrs. Kennedy and or Mrs. Connally suffered any injury at all. The first report we had said that both of the men were lying prone in the automobile in the caravan limousine at the time it made its way rapidly to Parkland Hospital. We have no further details. Parkland Hospital is being placed almost off limits to reporters at this time, but those details that are available will be brought to you just as quickly as we possibly can. Very briefly recapping, there has been an assassination attempt in downtown Dallas. Shots fired from a high-powered rifle at the presidential car in the motorcade as it was en route to the trademark for a scheduled presidential speech. All of these security precautions that have been taken, and now this happens. And the police are converging on and surrounding the area of Elman Houston, the old Texas School Book Exchange building, where they believe they may have trapped the would-be assassin. We'll bring you further details momentarily. Joe Long with Mobile News Unit number 4, 1190, and out.
Gary DeLon back at the KLIF studios, issuing the bulletin again for the man armed with a .30-30 caliber rifle. He was described as about 5'10", 165 pounds of slender build, about 30 to 35 years old. This tragic incident occurred at Elman Houston as the motorcade was en route to the trademark for a noon luncheon. The president, of course, was to deliver the speech during his appearance in Big D. Newsmen, some five car lengths behind the president, heard what sounded like three bursts of gunfire. Secret Service agents in the auto following the president quickly pulled automatic rifles. The bubble, as we mentioned previously, on the president's car was down when the shots rang out. The president slumped over the back seat, face down. Governor Connally lay on the floor of the rear seat. Wounds in the governor's chest were clearly visible. The wounds indicated an automatic weapon had been used. Police say this is believed to be a .30-30 caliber pistol, rather rifle. Three loud bursts of gunfire, possible tragedy on this November 22nd in Big D. We're going to switch now to the trademark, and here is a statement from Gordon McClendon.
Gordon McClendon at the trademark in Dallas. Here, the scene is of wild pandemonium as 2,000 guests waited anxiously for President Kennedy, Governor Connally, and the Vice President. Now, rumors run rampant. No one here knows what has happened, but the rumors continue to circulate that the President and Governor Connally both have been shot. And here at the trademark, we have nothing but rumors and a wild scene of chaos. This is Gordon McClendon from the Trademark in Dallas.
That was Gordon McClendon from the Trademark in Dallas. Again, we are still trying to get confirmed reports from Parkland Hospital that President Kennedy and Governor Connally have been cut down by an assassin's bullet, a fusillade of bullets, at the intersection of Elm and Houston in downtown Dallas. It is impossible, and it was impossible at that time to tell where the president was hit, but bullet wounds in Connally's chest clearly indicated that he had been wounded in that region. There were three loud bursts visibly heard by members of the motorcade. Motorcycle officers escorting the president quickly leaped from their bikes and raced up a grassy hill. That description again, a man about 5'10", 165 pounds, about 30 years of age. He was armed with a 30-30 caliber rifle. He was of slender build. The police department has thrown out an extensive dragnet. We are still trying to get in touch with Parkland Hospital. We hope to have confirmation. The latest report that we have from one press source, Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, said he is dead as the president was lifted from the rear of the White House touring car. Mr. Kennedy was rushed to the Parkland Hospital emergency room. Other White House officials were in doubt as the corridors of the hospital erupted in pandemonium. The incident occurred at Elm and Houston in the downtown area as the motorcade wended its way through the region. Newsmen in the motorcade did hear the three bursts from the automatic rifle. It is impossible, and was so at the time, to tell where the chief executive was struck by the bullets. We are now in contact with one of our news units, and we are going to switch you now for another report from the downtown section of Dallas.
Hold on again, and Cliff, Mobile News Unit number 4, and the police cordon and the widespread search net continues. We still do not know whether this would-be assassin is trapped in the building or in the area at all. The search continues. We're going to vacate this mobile unit momentarily, and we'll be back in touch with you just as quickly as possible. KLIF newsman and mobile unit spread throughout all the strategic spots covering this story. We'll bring you full details momentarily. Joe Long, Cliff, Mobile News Unit number 4, 1190 and out.
The possible tragedy came after President Kennedy arrived 3 minutes late at Love Field as his big jet plane with number one on its side floated down to earth, and the sun broke through the clouds after the president was 10 minutes away leaving Fort Worth. He was 10 minutes late. He was 3 minutes late arriving at Dallas Love Field. An estimated 250,000 persons lined the streets this afternoon as the president's motorcade moved through the streets. Then, at 12:50 p.m. Central Time, acting White House News Secretary Malcolm Kilduff was asked whether the president was dead. He said, "I have no word now," and that is the word we are awaiting. I have no word now, the latest. Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth has just said that both President Kennedy and Governor Connally were seriously wounded in the attack, but were alive. This is the latest. Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth has said that both President Kennedy and Governor Connally were seriously wounded, but were still alive. And now, here is KLIF's Joe Long.
Still no official word from Parkland Hospital. We were en route from Love Field, where we had described the arrival of the presidential party. And that is when the first word of the shooting came out. We have been in the deep downtown area, in the area of Elm and Houston, and the dragnet continues. So far, Parkland Hospital has not released an official statement on the condition of President Kennedy and Governor John Connally. We do know now, however, that both of these men were wounded in the assassination attempt. And the dragnet and search continues. We are finding these details slow in coming. We have many official and unofficial comments coming from various sources. But at this moment, let's summarize it this way. As the presidential motorcade made its way through downtown Dallas, at least three shots rang out in the vicinity of Elm and Houston. And one child reportedly was a witness to the shooting. A young colored boy said that as he heard the first shot, he looked up at the fourth floor window of the old Texas School Book Exchange building and saw a man leaning from the window, and then he fired at least two more shots. The report we had from witnesses at the scene said that both the president and Governor Connally were lying prone in the presidential limousine as it sped to Parkland Hospital. From Parkland, Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth says both Kennedy and Connally were seriously wounded but are still alive. However, we must stress that this is an unofficial report. It is not a medical report. Here is a description now of the man who fired the shots.
We're off with Dusty right now. Did you get it on your radio? It's 5 mil 35 10 165 30 caliber rifle. And I believe it was at Elman, Houston, where it came from. Now, I don't know definitely, and I don't like to say.
That was an official police department dispatcher description of the man we believe fired the would-be deadly shots at the presidential motorcade. There were about 250,000 persons lining the downtown streets at the time this incident took place. As the motorcade made its way toward the Triple Underpass, the crowd would break up and flood into the streets. But still, it was an orderly crowd held back from the streets at the time the shooting occurred. Obviously, this had to be a high-powered rifle for there to have been such a degree of accuracy on the part of the assassin, firing bullets into both the president and Governor Connally. It was approximately 12:50 our time when acting White House News Secretary Malcolm Kilduff was asked whether the president was dead. He said, "I have no word at this time." Now, that is acting White House News Secretary Kilduff, who made the trip instead of the usual White House News Corps. Vice President Johnson was in the car behind the president, and there was no indication at all that he was injured. Also, we do not have any indication whether the First Lady, Mrs. Jackie Kennedy, or Mrs. John Connally suffered any injuries. The report we had now, here it is, officially that Mrs. Kennedy apparently is safe. Mrs. Connally also safe, it appears, at least to those witnesses at Parkland Hospital, and to state it mildly, both women extremely stunned. Mrs. Kennedy reportedly had cradled her husband's head in her lap during the speedy trip to Parkland Hospital. Kennedy, according to a member of his staff, was still alive 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, we had word that the president was still alive. The blood was spattered all over the inside of the limousine, which had been flown in specially to carry the president. Ordinarily, there is a huge plastic bubble which allows the public a view of the president and those in the car with him, but gives those inside the limousine protection from the weather and would-be assassins. But because of the rapid, beautiful turn in today's weather, the bubble had been removed, and the president and all those in the limousine were fully exposed, not only to the public and the elements, but also to these would-be killer bullets. Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth, as we told you earlier, he, in addition to Kilduff, would be perhaps the most official source we've been able to contact so far, told us that both Kennedy and Connally were seriously wounded, but as of 12:55, 11 minutes ago, both were alive. A call has been sent out for some of the top surgical specialists in the city. A call also has been placed for a priest to report to Parkland Hospital. Now, let's summarize this so that we can bring you up to date and give you full details, all of the facts that we have available at our disposal at this moment. President Kennedy arrived in Dallas at approximately 11:35. He received a rousing welcome from some 2,000 spectators at Dallas Love Field. Then the motorcade began its trip through downtown Dallas to the Trademark, where he was scheduled to address some 2,500 spectators and supporters. But just short of the moment, he would have left the downtown area as the motorcade began its trip toward the Triple Underpass at Elman, Houston. Three bullets rang out, apparently fired from a .30-30 caliber rifle. The assassin supposedly was in a building about three or four stories up when he unleashed the deadly hail of bullets. We hope we say deadly. That word was ill-advised. We will correct that. We do know, however, that the president and Governor Connally, both riding in the presidential limousine, were wounded. As they departed Love Field, the president and Mrs. Kennedy sat on the main back seat, and Governor Connally and his wife were on the jump seats, and then the Secret Service man and the chauffeur were in the front seat. But as witnesses stated, both men were prone in the vehicle. They did not bother with ambulances. The limousine with police escort made its way immediately to Parkland Hospital, where top surgical specialists have been summoned. A call also has gone out for a priest. At this moment, the word is that both men were still alive as of 12:55. The picture in downtown Dallas is one of extreme activity on the part of the police. There was that sudden call, all units report code 3 in the downtown area to Elm and Houston, and they are trying to surround this building and close it off in case this man still would be there. He is approximately 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs about 160 pounds, and is a white man. He was carrying a .30-30 caliber rifle. We're going to call in Roy Nichols in one of the Cliff Mobile units downtown to see what late details he has on the search for the would-be killer.
We have just left the corner of Elm and Harwood where the shooting took place. There is no information to be gained at that point right now other than what Joe has just told you. Police are still looking for the would-be assassin. We will be at Parkland Hospital in just a moment to see if we can gain any information from Parkland at all. Of course, Parkland is not putting out any information at the moment as to whether the President and Governor Connally have been critically wounded or not. But we will be there in just a moment and we'll bring you the official word from Parkland Hospital as soon as it is released. At Elm and Harwood, of course, police have converged on the area, still searching for the would-be assassin. We'll be at Parkland in just a moment, and we hope to have an official report for you. Roy Nichols, KLIF Mobile News Unit, number 4, 1190 and up.
We now have received word from Parkland Hospital that the President is still alive. No official report yet on Governor Connally's condition. However, both men were alive at 12:50. We do now have information that both, or rather that President Kennedy, is alive. Word from Hyannisport, Massachusetts, just handed us President Kennedy's mother and father have been advised that he has been shot here in Dallas. They are presently at Hyannisport. And from New York City, only minutes after the President was shot, stocks moved actively lower, but a few issues stayed on the upside. The search continues through downtown Dallas for the man who today loaded a gun and intended to snuff out the life of the President of the United States and the Governor of the State of Texas, John Connally. How closely he has come to accomplishing his devious aim, we do not know. We do have word that the President is still alive, but the true extent of his injuries and what his present condition might be, we have not yet received official word on that. Top surgical specialists have been summoned to Parkland. The priest also has been summoned there. The President and Governor Connally, riding in the same car, were rushed directly to Parkland Hospital as the motorcade broke up once the shooting incident took place. The First Lady and Mrs. Connally, neither of them suffered any injury from the gunfire. That's the latest word we have on their condition. But both women, of course, in a high degree of agitation and a state of shock over the wounding of their husbands. It was reported to us by one bystander that as the presidential vehicle sped toward Parkland Hospital, the First Lady cradled the President's head in her lap. Governor Connally and the President both were prone in the automobile. Having been past the intersection of Elm and Houston quite a number of times, if you will recall the old Texas Textbook Exchange building, it sits only some 20 to 30 feet from the edge of the street where the presidential motorcade would have been passing. And from a third-story window, accuracy could be pretty well counted upon if a person knew how to use a weapon at all. Also, it would have been a very devastating shot should it come in contact with the person for whom it was intended. So we still are awaiting more official word on how critically the President has been injured. Everything seemed to be going well for Dallas today. The weather fared off. Everything cleared up. The crowd was orderly at Love Field when the President arrived. It looked like Dallas was going to have a smoothly operating presidential motorcade and visit and speech and then departure this afternoon. And then suddenly, a black cloud descended on Dallas as the President and Governor Connally were wounded. We have only two official sources with whom we have been able to be in contact, two within the presidential party itself. Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth is one of those. He says that both the President and the Governor have been seriously wounded, but they are still alive. However, Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent, assigned to protect Mrs. Kennedy, had a much more critical description of the president's condition. But as we say, these are individual opinions, and we have yet to receive direct official word from the surgeons at the hospital. It is now reported to us by Parkland that President Kennedy is receiving blood transfusions. The president now receiving blood transfusions as a result of these assassin bullets that tore into his body today. Three shots reportedly were fired at the motorcade. And now we have word that a 25-year-old man has been caught at Field and Elm Street. He, obviously, a suspect in this assassination attempt. He has been captured at Field and Elm and is being taken directly to police headquarters. We will be in touch with our reporter at police headquarters to let you know precisely how accurately this man might be fitting the description of the man for whom they've been searching ever since the shots were fired that struck the president and the governor. Although Dallas has been regarded as a center of strong political opposition to Kennedy, the heavy street crowds between Love Field and the scene of the shooting were overwhelmingly friendly. They were friendly at Love Field. There were a few derogatory signs, but there were no physical incidents of any note at all. There were numerous welcome Kennedy signs, a few anti-Kennedy signs, but all in all, the crowd was very orderly. All but one person, and that person is the subject on the lips of the world at this moment, as he has pumped bullets into the body of President Kennedy and Governor John Connally, both of whom have been rushed to Parkland Hospital. Our reporters are in direct touch with the police department, Parkland Hospital, the search through the downtown area as we attempt to determine who did this, has he been caught, and in what condition are we finding the president and Governor John Connally. The latest word from Parkland Hospital, the president is receiving blood transfusions. He has been wounded, but he is alive. And the downtown area is not the place to be at this moment unless you are on official business, because the police department, the Secret Service, the Highway Patrol, and the Sheriff's Office, making one of the biggest manhunts in all Texas, in fact, in the history of the nation, as they attempt to find the man who fired these shots at the president. One man perched on the roof of his car had held out toward the president a sign saying that because of Kennedy's socialistic beliefs, quote, I hold you in complete contempt. That was one of the few derogatory signs that we had found in the downtown area. And now back to Gary DeLon. The police have reportedly arrested a man about 25 years of age, fitting the description broadcast earlier by the Dallas Police Department, 5'10", 165 pounds. This last report stated that the president is undergoing emergency transfusions at this time at Parkland Hospital. The last word that we had shortly before 1 o'clock, about 2 minutes before 1, that both the president and Governor John Connally were fighting for their lives. The man, believed armed with a .30-30 caliber rifle, perched from a building at Elm and Houston as the motorcade made its way to the Travel Mart. Now it is a very dejected, depressing, desolate room where the luncheon was to have taken place. A city in great apprehension this afternoon. The New York Stock Exchange closed operations after word of the assassination attempt against the president and Governor Connally. The cotton and the wool exchanges also closed. We are still awaiting word from Parkland Hospital as to the immediate condition of the president. As of 16 minutes ago, he was still battling for his life, undergoing blood transfusions. There have been many incidents in Big D in recent weeks that have tarnished the reputation of Dallas, and this morning it appeared that the city in Texas, we call the gateway to the south, was going to have a chance to redeem itself. The sun broke through the clouds, and about 2,000 persons gathered at the airport to greet the president. Departing from political procedure somewhat, the president left the limousine and walked behind the car. Mrs. Kennedy did likewise. They shook hands with well-wishers alongside the Love Field fence. Then the president, Mrs. Kennedy, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, Governor and Mrs. Connally re-entered their cars and made their way to the downtown area.
At 20 minutes before 1, approximately, is the dastardly deed done here in Dallas. That was the approximate time we received the news. One man was perched on the roof of his automobile. He'd headed out toward the president, a sign saying that because of Kennedy's socialistic beliefs, I hold you in complete contempt. And now we're going to turn you back over to Joe Long.
Let's summarize again precisely what has occurred here today. President Kennedy and his official traveling party took off from Fort Worth Carswell Air Force Base this morning shortly after 11 o'clock. That he arrived in Dallas shortly past 11:30. Everything went smoothly. The rain cleared away. The sun came out. There was a good crowd on hand, well behaved. The president departed from protocol. He left the official limousine, walked along the fenced area, shaking hands with the spectators. Then the motorcade departed, and the trip through downtown Dallas had just about concluded when the three shots rang out from an assassin's rifle, striking the president and Governor John Connally. Both men rushed to Dallas Parkland Hospital by emergency speed. Official surgical reports are not available at this moment. A special carton of blood, apparently for transfusion purposes, has been rushed into the emergency ward. Two Dallas police officers carried that carton. The president's body was limp as he was carried into the hospital emergency room, cradled in the arms of his wife. He was rushed to Parkland Hospital. The governor also was taken there. The surgical specialists have been called in. A Roman Catholic priest also has been sent for. Shortly after the shooting, Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth said both the president and Connally were alive but seriously wounded. And now here's a late report from Dallas police. One Secret Service agent reportedly was killed in the assassin's attempt. The Secret Service men have been in Dallas throughout the week, paving the way for this trip, hoping that it would go smoothly. But no, this has not been the case today. In fact, it has gone tragically at this moment. We now have reports that a 25-year-old man has been arrested in the downtown area, a hot suspect in this case. The assassin apparently fired his shots from a .30-caliber rifle from the third-floor window of a school book exchange building just before the presidential motorcade was to go under a triple underpass, then out onto the main Stemmons Expressway and onto the Trademark, where the president was to have lunch and give his address. Blood was spattered all over the White House car. Mr. Kennedy was slumped over the back seat. Governor Connally lay on the floor at the rear of the seat. Mrs. Kennedy apparently was not hurt. Mrs. Connally also was safe. The witnesses in the downtown area said there were three loud bursts of gunfire, and the motorcycle police who were escorting the president quickly jumped from their bikes and raced up a grassy hill to take up position for possible action against the assassin. At the height of the emergency room drama, a weeping Negro woman bearing a small bloody child rushed into the hospital, where a nurse and intern quickly went to her side. The business of Parkland Hospital emergency room is continuous 24 hours a day, but never has it been so busy with such a distinguished pair of patients as they have received there today. Governor John Connally and President Kennedy, both wounded in an assassination attempt in downtown Dallas. One man has been arrested as a prime suspect. He fits fairly closely the description of the man who supposedly fired these bullets. He was arrested in the vicinity of Elman, Houston, where the dragnet has been out for some 45 minutes now and is being rushed to police headquarters for further questioning. There was absolutely no warning that this would take place. Of course, these things always come so spontaneously. Should there be any warning, then the president would be better protected and an alternate route could be prepared. But everything had gone smoothly to this very moment, and then the three shots rang out, and then the vehicle bearing the president and the governor rushed to Parkland Hospital, both men prone in the back seat area of the vehicle. The president's head was cradled in the first lady's lap. We repeat that Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Connally both apparently escaped any injury from this assassination attempt, but it is now official both President Kennedy and Governor Connally have been shot and wounded. At Parkland Hospital, the top surgical specialists have arrived. A Roman Catholic priest has arrived. And a few moments ago, a special shipment of blood was brought in by two Dallas police officers. Bill Stinson, an assistant to Governor Connally, heard him talk to the operating room. This is late word from Parkland. He said the governor had been shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. Stinson said he asked Connally how it happened, and he said, "I don't know. I guess from the back, but they got the president, too." Congressman Jim Wright of Fort Worth
says that both men were still alive as of 12:55 Dallas time, approximately 30 minutes ago. But all indications, according to the extensiveness of the treatment at Parkland Hospital, every indication we have is that the wounds possibly are of serious nature. The latest report from United Press International leads off this way. President Kennedy has been shot. He is perhaps fatally wounded. But we must keep repeating that there is no official word that the president is in critical condition at this time. However, he was slumped over in the back seat from the impact of the high-caliber bullets that were poured into the presidential limousine. The last shooting incident involving a president occurred in 1950 when President Harry Truman was in office and living in Blair House in Washington. That was when the White House was being renovated. Two Puerto Rican nationalists tried to gun their way into Blair House and assassinate Truman, who was taking a nap at the time on the second floor. One White House officer was killed in that assassination attempt and another seriously wounded, and one of the assassins was cut down in the blaze of defensive gunfire on Pennsylvania Avenue. The Senate has adjourned in Washington upon learning of the assassination attempt. The American Stock Exchange closed its operations today after word of the attempt, and the New York Stock Exchange took an expected dip. So we will recap for you very briefly now. Late word from Parkland Hospital, a Father Huber of Holy Trinity Church in Dallas has administered the last sacraments of the church to the president. This does not mean that the president has died. It is a religious precaution taken for those persons who are seriously ill or who have been seriously injured. But a Father Huber of the Holy Trinity Church in Dallas has at Parkland Hospital administered the last sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church to the president. There have been many reports coming from Parkland Hospital, some of which we have been able to confirm, others we have not. But we must stress this. KLIF is only accepting news from official sources, those with whom we are in contact daily, those persons we know and can be absolutely certain of the reliability of their statements. So what you hear us broadcast, please bear in mind, it is all of official nature or of eyewitness detail. Sheriff's officers took a young man into custody at the scene. They are questioning him behind closed doors. But this last word from Parkland is that a Roman Catholic priest has administered the last sacraments of the church to the president. That sacrament was administered shortly before 1 o'clock. However, we have received no further word on the severity of the president's condition. There are reports circulating by other news media in Dallas that the president has been killed, but we have yet to receive our official source word on this from Parkland Hospital or any of the other officials involved in this operation. A prime suspect in the assassination attempt is in custody. He is being questioned. And now we will see if Roy Nichols has made his way back into the mobile unit. He has been at Parkland Hospital and at the search scene. Perhaps we can contact Roy Nichols now. Roy obviously is out of the unit at Parkland Hospital, checking with emergency sources there at this time. But at last report, the president and Governor Connolly both had received transfusions. A Roman Catholic priest administered the last sacrament of the church to the president. We do not know how seriously he was injured, but Governor Connolly was conscious in the hospital emergency room. One of his aides, Bill Stinson, he's an assistant to the governor, says that he talked to the governor in the hospital operating room and said the governor was shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. Stinson said he asked Connolly how it happened, and he said, "I don't know. I guess from the back, but they got the president, too." So that's the situation to this moment as we await further official word on the condition of President Kennedy, who has been rushed to Parkland Hospital after being shot. Bullets crashing from a high-powered rifle in the downtown Dallas area, almost at the conclusion of a near-perfect reception and motorcade from Dallas Love Field. It was headed for the trademark where some 2,500 supporters and well-wishers stood by waiting to greet the president and to hear the address that he was to give there this afternoon. But that is the situation to this moment. One suspect is in custody. The last rites of the church have been administered to the president. Another priest, who declined to give his name, said the chief executive still was alive at the time the sacrament was administered shortly before 1 o'clock Dallas time. Sheriff's officers have a young man, the prime suspect, in custody at the scene, and are questioning him behind closed doors at this moment. The dragnet was over all of the downtown Dallas area, but most particularly it was concentrated in the vicinity of Elm and Houston Street, where the bullets were fired. The presidential car immediately sped the president and Governor Connally to Parkland Hospital. Emergency blood supplies have been brought in, top surgeons have been called in, and two Catholic priests who were summoned to the scene. One has administered the last sacrament of the church to the president, but at last report, he apparently still is alive, and how critical his injuries may be, we have not yet been able to determine.
There is a strong rumor that the president is dead, Joe. Parkland says it is official, and we won't know for just a moment, but there is strong indication that the president of the United States is dead.
This is the strong indication. We have received several reports to that effect, but as we have outlined before, until the official word is received, KLIF is withholding any stern and final pronouncement on that.
Were that true, Joe, it would be the second time in American history that A. Johnson had succeeded to the presidency upon the death of a president, the last time having been, of course, the assassination of President Lincoln, and he was, of course, succeeded by Andrew Johnson.
We have word that Vice President Lyndon Johnson is somewhere in Parkland Hospital. It has been impossible to determine his precise whereabouts at this moment. He was reported, of course, badly shocked by the shooting. Doctors were trying to keep him as quiet as possible. Vice President Johnson occupied the limousine directly behind the president's car. He is now under heavy Secret Service and police protection. Throughout the Texas trip, when Kennedy and Johnson had been in the same motorcade, as an obvious security measure, they have ridden in the separate cars as they did today. Johnson's car has always been some distance behind the presidential car. Senator Ralph Yarborough, in a nearby car, said he saw the president's lips moving at a normal rate of speed while he was being rushed to the hospital. Gordon McClendon has just returned from the trademark. The scene had all been so beautifully set there for the president's arrival, the luncheon, and his speech this afternoon. Gordon, what was the effect on those some 2,000 people waiting there?
Stunned, of course, Joe. In a wild scramble for transportation out of the trademark, particularly by reporters from throughout the United States, seeking to get transportation some way, somehow, to Parkland Hospital. By the time we left, which was approximately 10 minutes after the shooting, the giant trademark had been more than half emptied of the 2,000 people who had been assembled there to see the president, the vice president, and the remainder of the luminaries. Rumors ran rampant. At first, it was thought that Vice President Johnson had also been shot in the attack. I can only say that no one at the trademark knew very much, but now everyone is fully aware.
Malcolm Kilduff, an assistant press secretary, he is in charge of press relations on this presidential tour, says he cannot say at this time whether the president is alive and cannot say where he was hit. Says Kilduff, there are just too many stories at this time. Perhaps it was the gap in the motorcade, which we mentioned earlier, that saved Johnson from being a target today. These security precautions that they've been taking to keep the president and vice president separated. The priest who accompanied Father Hubert did not go into the emergency room himself. He said he understood the president's condition was critical, but was still alive at 12:55. That's the latest official word.
Direct contact, Joe, with Parkland Hospital. We are in direct contact. We have been unable yet to verify the rumors, and to this point, they are strictly rumors that the president is dead. We will not know until the word comes through officially, but there have been strong indications that the president has expired. But again, we repeat, it is unofficial. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally of Dallas, of Texas, having been cut down by a assassin's bullet today at lunch, they were shot as they toured downtown Dallas in an open car. Specialists are arriving at the hospital, which I might mention is a scene of wild pandemonium.
As we were coming from the trademark a moment ago in a Dallas police car, there was a call for 20 police, additional police units at Parkland Hospital. And incidentally, on the fifth floor of the downtown building from which the president and the governor were shot, they have now discovered empty rifle hulls. And there is also indication that more than one man is involved in the attack, Joe.
We have had descriptions of three men, actually, two white men and one colored man, as being possible suspects in this shooting. But at present, a 25-year-old white man has been taken into custody. He is behind heavy security guard at this time and is undergoing extensive questioning. But it obviously had to be a high-powered rifle in order to have the almost deadly effect that it had from that distance. And it was just... You could say the motorcade was almost home free at the time this took place. It was leaving
almost there.
It was leaving the most congested area of downtown. From there on, the route would have been relatively free of bystanders because it was a major expressway.
Cliff Hill, a Secret Service agent assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, said as the president was lifted from the rear of the White House touring car at Parkland Hospital, he's dead. However, that again comes into the category of an unconfirmed statement. We can only give you unconfirmed statements at this point. There are strong indications that the president has expired, but there has been no bulletin to that effect, and as Joe has told you, the last rites and sacrament have definitely been administered.
Correct. Two Catholic priests were summoned to the scene. Only one of them visited the president. That was the Father Hubert, and the word was that the president still was alive at the time the sacrament was administered, shortly before 1 o'clock Dallas time. Several of the surgeons have arrived. Blood plasma, a special carton of blood plasma, was brought into Parkland Emergency not too long ago by two special Dallas police officers. Our KLIF reporters in the downtown area where the search has been conducted for the would-be assassin, also at Parkland Hospital and at police headquarters and the sheriff's office, to bring us the very latest and most official word that we are able to gather on this assassination attempt on the president's life today.
It would be the first time, of course, since the assassination of President McKinley that such an event had taken place in the United States, and it would also be the second time in American history that a Johnson had succeeded to the presidency upon the death of the president by assassination. The last time, of course, having been the succession of Andrew Johnson after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Joe?
At the time these three shots, and it is a little confused right now as to how many there were, but we do know of three because that's the consensus of witnesses who were there. The time those shots rang out, the motorcycle escort immediately jumped from their bikes, dashed up the grassy hill to the parkway just across the street from the old Texas School Book Exchange building, and began their perusal of the building. And one policeman fell to the ground, pulled his pistol, and screamed, "Get down!" And a man across the street standing in the crowd snatched up his little girl and ran. This was the man the police first chased because he had panicked and run at the hearing of the shots.
That building, incidentally, Joe, the correct name of that building, although it is the Texas Book Depository, is the Sexton Building. The Sexton Building.
Correct, and it is at a very strategic point in the parade route. Whoever pulled this devious act knew that he was choosing a key location for his attempt on the president's life.
Well, of course, the major attention is being focused upon the condition of the president. No one yet has any authoritative report upon the nature of the wounds to Governor Connally. Bullet wounds were plainly visible in Connally's chest, so we know that he was shot in the chest. His condition, however, remains more of a mystery than that of the President of the United States. The President is clearly, gravely, critically, and perhaps fatally wounded. There are strong indications that he may already have expired, although that is not official. We repeat, not official. But the extent of the injuries to Governor Connally is a closely shrouded secret at the moment.
President Kennedy is dead, Gordon. This is official
word. The President is dead. The President, ladies and gentlemen, is dead at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
The shock of an incident like this, particularly to those of us of the press, radio, and television corps who had seen the President alive only a few moments ago, can never be described. At Dallas Love Field, he arrived. He was his usual smiling self. He even deviated from protocol and went to the fence and shook hands with the people. So did Mrs. Kennedy. So did Vice President and Mrs. Johnson. And then the motorcade began its trip and then rang out the deadly bullets from the assassin's gun.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States is dead. The new President of the United States, by succession, is Vice President Lyndon Johnson. It will be the second time in American history that a Johnson has succeeded to the presidency upon the assassination of the president. The last time being, of course, in the post-Civil War days upon the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson succeeded as president. And you will recall that this is the second assassination of this century, the last having been the assassination of President William McKinley in 1901. President Kennedy and Governor John Conway of Texas cut down by assassin's bullets. The condition yet of Conway, undetermined. We know he's been shot in the chest. We do not know whether he has been shot once or twice, but bullet wounds were clearly visible in his chest. We repeat, ladies and gentlemen, the flash of a moment ago, and you get these flashes once in every decade. The President of the United States is dead.
The sounds of KLIF Radio in Dallas, Texas, on November 22nd, 1963. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio, on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you will join us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.